This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Are you full?
You know, it's cold. It's all kinds of other things. And, we had a great Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving is almost as important as Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's Turkey Day. I mean, people were eating and all this carrying on. I mean, the average woman spends between 9 and 10 hours doing all the turkey.
You serious? Really?
Yes, that's the average. 9.5 to 10 hours.
Wow. That's a lot. I mean, I know it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and there's a lot of things going on, but I did not realize it was 9 or 10 hours.
Yes. So my recommendation next year, go to Cajun turkey, get it done. Go to Cajun turkey, let the wife up. I mean, you know, life is hard enough.
Yeah.
And they've been cooking all their life. Give them a break and just say, darling, we'll order it all from Cajun turkey or somebody else if you like them better. And just say, all we have to do is heat it up, eat it, and we're through. There's no pots, no pans, no 5 hours of cleanup, and 10 hours of cooking. I mean, look how many hours we've saved.
I know it. You just heat it and eat it, and now I'm starting to question our sanity. If all these years...
I'm starting to question mine. I mean, all these years, am I out of my mind?
Wow.
I mean, we have people that will cook it, and you just go pick it up, folks.
Yeah, and it's good.
They'll cook that turkey. You can get turkey 5 different ways. You know that?
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Turkey comes every way in the world. Every kind of seasoning. They'll fry it. They'll bake it.
Ooh.
And they'll say, do you want this seasoning? Do you want the cracked pepper on it? Do you want the herb seasoning? Do you want the thing fried? I mean, it's just amazing.
Oh, have you ever had a deep-fried turkey?
It's been years, but I have. You know, all the people I knew that were experimenting with that, they almost got burned real bad, so they quit doing it.
Oh, yeah. There's a danger.
You know, I knew a lot of amateurs was experimenting when they first said, oh, here it is, fried turkey. Well, nobody knew how hot that grease got.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew a few people almost got burned.
Yes, I've seen those stories where people drop the bird in the hot oil, it overflows and sets like they're outside on the back deck, and it'll set it on fire and burn the whole house down. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Oh, I've heard of several people that burned the turkey up completely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've heard all kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And everything can happen with that. It's best to leave it to a professional.
You know, yes.
Let them take the risk and the honor and just say, get mine ready. I'll pick it up. That's all you have to say.
Well, see, that's the difference. That's what happens. See, most of the time, like you were talking about before, the ladies of the house will spend 9 or 10 hours, and they'll put it in the oven, and they'll season it, and it'll be all nice and done. The men, we have to know better. And so we're the ones that have to put it in the deep fryer and the hot oil and make things go bad in a hurry. So
that's exactly right.
It's our fault.
And, or then they'll want a barbecue the dad gets.
Oh,
burned.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say, let me put it on the grill.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's another thing. Now, I'm not for barbecuing the turkey. I'm just not. I want my turkey baked, and I want him in the oven.
Yeah, preferably somebody else bake it.
That's right. You know, I've done it all my life, and I'm just saying, you know, let's just let someone else cook this bird.
Yeah, and they're happy to do it.
We can rely on them.
Yeah.
They're going to cook 100 birds, mine will just be one of many.
Exactly. And you know? You say, and what you get the Cajun
Turkey Company.
Yeah.
I ought to get paid.
You should.
I talk about them all the time.
You ought to be their spokesperson.
Well, they have so many things. And then you say, okay, I'll pick up the turkey. I'll pick up the dressing. I'll pick up the sweet potatoes from them. And then you say, I may want some Louisiana food. And you can get it a little spicy. You can get it not spicy. They make everything. They're going to have the pies for you. They're going to have everything you need for Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And then they do that other deal where you put the turkey, the chicken, and the duck, you know.
Oh, the turducken.
Yes. Uh-huh. They do that. I mean, you can get that thing as fancy as you want it.
It seems to be a thing to mix food. You got the turducken, and then have you seen the pie cakein?
I missed that one. Sorry.
It's a pie and a cake and, I don't know, something else. I had never heard
it
before until this year.
People just can't leave it alone, can they?
No. It's a pie cakein, and it's a real thing.
Oh, my gosh. Some nut thought that up because they could sell them good.
Yeah. Then they have the whole Thanksgiving, I think it's a soda, like carbonated beverage, and like one will taste like turkey, and then one tastes like mashed potatoes, and one tastes like...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Now, you know, some people do mashed potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think in Texas, most people do sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And they either do it with the marshmallows or the pecan and brown sugar.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with that.
I prefer the pecan and brown sugar. It's out of sight.
Mm-hmm. Pecans and brown sugar, and just sugared up pecans by themselves are delicious. You put them in sweet potatoes.
You put that on the top of your sweet potatoes,
mm-hmm,
and put it in the oven for a few minutes, and it is out of sight.
It is delicious. Boy, I thought I was full, and I thought I was done with it, but now after all this, I think I could go back for seconds or thirds.
That's right. Go back those leftovers. Do not leave one bit left.
No.
It's important.
It is. And it's the beginning of the holiday season. So what do they say? Season's eatings. It's really? Now upon us.
It's now upon us. Well, you know, from now to January, people are going to be sampling everything at the stores, the candies, everything in the world. And, you know, I swear by QVC, I've never bought anything, but I am crazy about it because I learned so many products that I didn't even know existed. I mean, people have been busy out there making all these things. And they made toffee this week. This company was a fourth generation company. And they showed at the factory how they make toffee, how they make every kind.
Oh.
And he said several years ago, they said, you know, we've either got to close up or we've got to get a better system. And they wanted to jack with his candies. He said, no, you're not jacking with the candies.
Uh-uh.
He said, we will have a machine built that's faster and that will do everything. And they built this machine, and it puts the inside flat. It'll make, I don't even know how many it makes. Then it comes back. It puts the chocolate on it.
Ooh.
Then it puts the nuts on it.
Oh.
Then it cuts them in little tiny squares.
Oh.
Does all this. And then they put it in the foil that they do. And they said at room temperature, those will keep for a year.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And they make four or five kinds. And it's a family business.
Ooh.
That's just, I mean, you talk about being a success.
Wow.
And, it seems as though everybody that comes on QVC has got to be a success. Their products have to stand up. And they talked about this one company this lady is president of. It makes all this beautiful, beautiful serveware. And she's been on there for 21 years.
Really? 21 years? Wow.
And several of these companies have got big awards for their food, for their products. And Good Housekeeping has recommended something. I found it interesting. So what do you think, and this is not on the subject we're supposed to be on, what do you think that QVC makes per year?
Oh, $21 billion.
$84 billion.
Oh, really?
I went and looked it up.
Wow.
I said, these people have got to be making money hand over fist because they're on all day, half the night. They're on weekends. And a guy and several of our Orange Chef guys, they've got some new products, and they demonstrate all this.
Really?
And show you how it works.
Boy, you are hooked on QVC, aren't you?
I am. Because, you know, I don't have time to find out how things work or
no.
how they're made. And you can turn on there for maybe an hour, and all these new products are there, and you get to see them.
Oh, wow. I can picture you sitting down to watch it for an hour, and all of a sudden, 3 days later, Claudia's calling you saying, are you coming into work? And you're like, no, it's Saturday. She's like, it's Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. But it is amazing.
I bet.
And all their stuff, they discount it, and then they give free shipping.
Really?
And they'll tell you what the retail price is. Then they'll tell you what their discount is. And that you can return it all the way up to January.
I'll bet.
Who would do that?
You don't hear that at all ever. But I'll bet.
Anywhere.
You probably, all of a sudden, now need things that you had no idea even existed.
I didn't even know I needed all these things. You're right.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bag, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I think, if my memory serves me right, last year's Thanksgiving show, I don't think we talked about money at all. I think you got...
We didn't? What is wrong with us?
Well, we got to talk about
turkey. You have to have turkey, but you have to have money to buy the turkey, and you have to have money to be successful.
Yeah.
So we better do it.
We better, or else you're going to get phone calls and letters. So where do you want to start?
Do you supposed to be about? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how it works.
Well, let me tell you, we've got at least 10 million in bids out right now.
Good Lord.
We closed one policy last week, 750,000. It's already gone. It's filled. We've got several other bids. One guy has got 3 million in policies.
Really?
A million and a half, and I think there's a million. And we're bidding hard on his. We've got a $5 million policy out. If we get it, it'll take every client we have. Every client will have to go in order to raise $5
million. Wow, then that's cool.
I can tell you that. So that would be cool if we get it. And the Ellie is good. It's a Lapidus. You know, we've started using them in the last year, and we love Lapidus. They're so good. The state of Florida says they're right 69% of the time.
Really? That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And so we're getting better results. I've had 3 policies hit the bank this week. You know, and all of them came in early. 3 of them came in early.
Wow.
Yes. So all that money is going into people's bank accounts. My friend out in Lubbock, she's had really good luck this week. I haven't got to talk to her yet, but she was in 3 policies that all came due early. So that's quite a bit of money. And one of them, she wasn't in it but 90 days.
Really?
She was in it 90 days. Somebody had passed away. The family wanted to sell their portion of the policy. I asked her if she'd like to buy it. She said, sure. Upon my recommendation, she did. And she's already got paid 3 months.
Wow. That's something. I mean, is she a new investor?
That's very unusual. No, she's been with us since the beginning.
Wow. That's 90 days. That's huge.
Yeah, but she's got that Midas touch. She's always in the policies that come due. She has a great portfolio, and it seems like, you know, her stuff always comes due. She's always got, you know, policies expiring and getting paid.
I don't want to ask for personal things, because I know you've got client confidentiality and all. But just generally speaking, it sounds like a good, almost like a case study to get into. If she's been with you for a very long time, she's well diversified in a lot of different policies, so that there's always something
right.
coming in, always reinvesting, and she's very, very successful. And that's sounds like really the ideal kind of setup for most people who are thriving the most with life settlements, right?
It is, because it works. You have to have a lot of policies. You have to be consistent. You've got to turn them and turn them and turn them. But if you do, the income is there. The interest is there. It's a safety factor being in a life settlement. You know, it's a lot safer, in my opinion now, than most everything else, because real estate is great, but when the market goes down, you can't sell that real estate. The market's up, you can sell it and make a good profit. But right now, they've got a lot of real estate that is not moving, as you know.
Yeah.
A lot of houses are not moving. And the commercial real estate, they're really worried. So that would be off my plate. You know, the stock market is good at times, and times it's bad. So it's not consistent. You know, you can't say, if I'm in the stock market, I'll always make money. I'm going to go forward with it. But we know that's not true, because people call me all the time and say, Faye, get me out of the stock market. I'm losing money.
Yeah. I saw.
And when they tell us they're losing, we take them out and put them in a life settlement, because it's steady. It's not going to make you rich, I don't think. But, you know, it's just steady income. Because we're buying policies on people that are terminally ill. We know they're going to pass away. We've got a pretty close date, and it's working. You know, it is working. We've got some old policies that are not that good. But all of our newer ones are great, and they're coming due. People are getting paid, and they're happy. So I would recommend a life settlement over almost other investments, because it is conservative. It's a life insurance policy. It pays good. You know how many months it's going to be going in. You know what you're going to make. How many investments do you know in advance what you're going to make?
None that I can think of.
None. It's the only thing I know of that you know what you're going to make going in. You know what the risks are. You know what the rewards are. So it's worth looking at it. And we've got a lot of people been with us from the start.
Yeah, and for a number of years, and those are the ones that are really the most successful, because they're in a lot of different policies. And I read something else this week. It was another article, another prediction by some more financial experts who say that they're expecting a 30% drop in the stock market, and then that could be followed by a full-blown 2008. That was the first thing. And then the second thing was how the real estate market is absolutely headed for a full-blown real estate crash, is what they were predicting. So,
well, and the reason they're predicting that is commercial real estate. You could not borrow money on commercial real estate right now, as far as I know, unless you had a huge portfolio. I read this week that the banks have cut off the commercial lending, because they've got all these office buildings that are vacant, are almost vacant, and it will not cover the mortgages. You know, and in Dallas, Texas, I know that to be a fact. I pulled up all these different office buildings. They were 35% to 45% vacant.
Really?
If you've got that much vacant, you cannot make a mortgage. Let me tell you.
No, you can't.
You know, you need about a 75%. You know, fulfillment in order to make the mortgage and to pay all the bills. Because you not only pay the mortgage, you've got the taxes to pay. You've got all the insurance to pay. And, you know, that huge real estate company that just went broke, they say they were worth $40
billion.
Jeez. Now, how can you be worth $40 billion and go bankrupt? I don't understand it. But this is a company that went out all over the United States and leased all these buildings. And then they're releasing them to small tenants. And when things went bad, the small tenants got up and walked out.
Wow.
So now they've got a huge vacancies, and they can't pay. They can't pay the banks. I don't know who loaned them the money, but it's a $40 billion bankruptcy.
Wow.
I can't even imagine. Imagine those banks are just... I don't mind they've been asleep a while.
Yeah, and on paper a couple of years ago, that was just like, you would have looked at that as, wow, this is just fantastic. This is solid. This is, you know, this cannot crumble, and now here we are, and it's crumbled.
No telling how many people have stock in that thing.
Yeah.
Just no telling how many people bought stock. It sounded good. We're going to lease all these buildings and then re-lease them to small tenants. And they advertised, I remember their ads.
Yeah.
You know, you can have this, you know, one little office in our building, and it'll look like you have, you know, 40 offices in there.
Yeah.
Which wasn't true. And those people didn't have staying power, and they left. And left them holding the bag. So $40 million.
Unreal. But that's not, you know, it's like there's all these things that are, you look around in the landscape of things and what may be coming. It's pretty scary to a lot of people. But the good thing is people who are in life settlements, it's solid. You're in a life insurance policy, and they've got reserves on hand. So anything that happens anyplace else, they're secure. They're not going to all of a sudden discount a policy when it matures. They're going to pay the full amount. There's a lot of really, I don't know if safety the right word or conservative.
I think it's a very conservative investment, has a lot of safety features. Remember, it's invested in a life insurance policy. They don't make loans. They're not out here making loans. They don't have all these real estate loans they're making to people. They don't make commercial loans or personal loans. You know, they're prohibited from doing a lot of things that a bank can do, thank goodness. So, you know, they're big. They're like $20 billion, $40 billion, $60 billion and up. And, you know, I love it, life insurance companies, because they pay off anytime we send in a claim, whether it's $200,000 or $5 million. You know, they pay it, they send the check. They've got the money. So it's a conservative investment. People understand life insurance. They know how it works. And in this case, it's different. We're buying life insurance policies on people that have terminal cancer. If you've got terminal cancer, we're probably looking at your policy. A lot of the providers we use, they're buying policies as fast as they can. And, you know, some of them pay more for them. Like, we pay more for policies on cancer, I think, than anybody in the business, because we know what the other people are paying. They have to give a financial report at the end of the year, and they tell what they paid for their policies. So that's why I know we're paying more. So when they send us a policy, let's say the person has breast cancer, we go back, we read all the medical on it, we read when they first got breast cancer, if it's the second go around. And then we look to see if it's spread. If it's spread, they don't have much of a chance. And that's the policies we want. The one that is spread to two or three other places, we know it's a good policy. So, you know, we've been doing this a long time. We've gotten a lot better over the years. And our policies do mature. They're coming in a lot earlier right now. And they know every risk going in. They know, you know, how long the policy is. They know what they're going to make, what the face amount is, what kind of cancer it is. And they know that if it goes over, they have to pay premium, and they'll know how much it is.
And you escrow for those, too, right?
So it's a win situation. Do what?
You escrow for those, too, just in case.
That's the other thing. We not only escrow for the premium for the entire length, but then we escrow an extra 12 months just to be sure.
That's fantastic. So, I can't think of another investment that has this much information going in. You know, it's a very, very well-informed investment. I think at the end of last week's show, we kind of realized that we want the whole thing and didn't even realize that we didn't say anything about annuities. So, would you like to cover a little bit of annuities today?
Well, annuities are the safest of the safe. When people come to me and want an annuity, it's because they want guaranteed payments. They want that compound interest. They want the bonuses we're giving right now. There's all kinds of bonuses, folks. Mm. And then a big life insurance, one we use, is worth $60 billion. They've been in business 100 years, folks.
Wow.
And they own other companies. And it's a Texas company that owns it, by the way.
That's
so
cool.
It's not out here in Podunk. It's a big, big company. you know, and the home office of the parent companies in Dallas, Texas. So we do know a lot about the company. We know about the other companies they own. We know how reliable they are. I have been licensed with this company for 23 years.
Wow, really?
It's a long time. In our portfolio, we have over $20 million of annuities in our portfolio. It's tax deferred till you take it out. So while it's earning all this money, if you're not taking anything out, you're making a lot more money because it's compound and you're not paying taxes till you take it out. And how many investments can you make an investment in that year you don't pay taxes?
Yeah, that's cool. And the fact that it's compound interest, that that's very attractive to a lot of people as well.
And then if it's an IRA, you don't have to take anything out till about 73, you know. It's also protected from lawsuits. Let's say you have a big estate, and it may take a while to settle it. If you've got some annuities, if they need money right away, they can cash the annuities in at your death. So it's a simple investment, but it's the greatest investment on earth because it'll do so many things. I have a lot of grandparents that do this for their grandchildren. They do it for their children. I've got some people that did it for close friends that they felt like they wanted to leave them something. And there's all kinds of ways to do this. And if you need cash, let's say in 10 years you're going to need cash, you can cash it in. Let's say in 10 years you're going to retire, or 5 years, you can start taking payments out. Now let's talk about the bonuses.
Mm.
There's two different bonuses. There's a 12% bonus first year, or you can take 21% first year. Now, how do you do it? It's a 17% bonus plus you take the fixed rate that first year. So that'll give you 21%.
Wow.
One time. And if you do it that way, you also get 4% added at the end. It's got a nursing home waiver where you could take all the money out. They'll waive the fees on it. It's a great annuities. It covers so many things.
There's just profit on top of profit on top of profit is what it sounds like.
I think it is. It's conservative, but they're saying, look, we're going to give a bonus. You can get the 12%, or you can take it and make it a 21% first year. Now then, I believe it also will pay 7% a year bonus after this for everything you put in. So you can get bonuses year after year with either scenario.
Good Lord.
So it pays you to start putting money aside and put it in an annuity.
Annuities,
it's a great idea.
Even without, okay, so the bonuses seems to be like a new thing that's been happening recently. But even without the bonuses, even before they started all that, annuities were still a great investment because they weren't in the stock market. They mirror the stock market, but they're not actually in it. So just all by itself, annuities are fantastic. But with the bonuses, it just seems like they're in hyper overdrive. I don't want to say it's like the latest, greatest thing because it's not a fad.
No.
But it does bring a lot of attention to the fact that, hey, this is a nice conservative investment with a ton of different avenues for profit on top of profit. You're not in the stock market and you've got some protection against, if the bottom, you know, say it does fall out in the stock market, you lock that in, right? And so...
That's right. Everything you make every year is locked in at the end of the year. It doesn't go backwards. You never take a loss on your investment. It may not make anything one year. I think there's been a couple of years it didn't, but you didn't lose anything. Your money was still there. It was intact. Then the next year it reset. We reset it, and you made money. The average, I went back 10 or 20 years, I think, and the average has been over 10%.
Wow.
On average. There's some years it made a ton. There's some years it didn't. But overall, it's a great investment because your money's safe, your interest is safe. There's no taxes till you take it out. I can't think of a negative thing about an annuity. And they issue up to 80 years old. I had
really?
An 80-year-old this week, and I had to look it up. I said, I think most of ours go to 79. But for somebody that wants just a fixed rate, we have one that's a fixed rate. That'd be just like going to the bank and get a CD. And that thing pays like 5.3, 5.65, 5 point something else. You can do 3, 5, or 7 years. And that's for older people. I say that. I have a few people that are still buying CDs.
Really?
Not many, but a few. If they're still buying CDs, they can do that.
Wow. Cool.
It's just like a CD, you know. It expires in either 3, 5, or 7 years. But everybody else, if you're wanting to get your portfolio up, make it, strengthen it, and actually make money and not worry about it. That's what an annuity does. Annuity takes worry out of every asset you've got that's in there because it's safe at all times. You don't have to get up at midnight and say, have I lost money today? You know, I have people in the stock market who are getting up at midnight. Jeez. Checking their portfolio. They were so worried. I had a lady come to me this month that said she'd been losing money over at the brokerage house, and they just said, tough, you know? I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
They didn't give her any assurance it was going to come back or she's going to get her original investment back.
Jeez.
They just said, tough. And she said, I want out of there. And I said, okay, we'll get you out.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you a question, and I don't even know if this is even a thing. I want to make sure I understand this right. So say you have an annuity. Say 1 year it doesn't say it doesn't make anything. You don't lose anything. But obviously, say it doesn't make anything. With the bonuses, though, you still make the profit from the bonuses, right?
Well, if you put more money in, you get a bonus that year, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So
the bonuses are if you're putting money in every year, you're getting a bonus on it every year.
All right, cool.
Yes. I've got several people who've got that worked out how they're going to do it, and I'm interested in it because they've got IRAs that they're going to have to start taking out, you know, that 3-point-something and pay the taxes. Well, when you take that money out, you don't owe it all in taxes, so it'll come back to their annuities and start over.
And I
so
tell
we're
you,
they're going to be doing annuities, so when they come over, they're going to get a bonus every year on those annuities when they put that money in that they're taking out of the tax portfolio that was an IRA. And now it's going to become a regular account rather than an IRA.
I'm so impressed with how you get to that 21%. It's just all the avenues to make money if you set it up and do it right, which is what you do. It just seems like annuities have been so undersold for so long, and people haven't really understood, you know, the exact amount of profit.
They've been undersold. And they've outperformed almost anything.
Yeah.
Right now, they will outperform, I believe, almost anything that's in the market because the real estate is not performing. And I don't know what else anybody's got other than mutual funds and stocks.
Yeah.
And remember, this is not a variable annuity. That's why you don't lose money. It's not directly in mutual funds. It's not directly in the stock market. It just mirrors the stock market. It's not in the stock market. It's in the annuity. That's what makes it safe. And so, you know, you don't want to ever be, I don't think, it's a personal opinion, I would not be in a variable annuity because there is fees on it that you won't believe. And then if it loses, it comes out on your portfolio and says, okay, you're down 20,000, you're down 5,000, whatever it is. You can lose money. But if you'll do an index fixed annuity, I think they're the best of the best.
Yeah, you got a safety net. So if something does happen in the stock market, you're not going to bottom out. You still end up at, I think you say it best, really, when you say you always protect your principal.
Your principal's always protected, unless you've got fees in there.
Hmm.
And always be sure your investments don't have fees, because you can get it either way. A lot of people say, well, if I take and put the fee on it, I make a little more. But you have a little more risk, too. You can do it without fees and make a good amount of money, and that's the best way to do it. You don't want to do it with fees.
Cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we take a break. We get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, it's Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I know it's after Turkey Day, but I want to talk about it anyway. I'm like the old maid.
Yeah.
And how many turkeys do you think were eaten this Thanksgiving?
I'm going to say 50 million.
You were so close, it's ridiculous. 48 million turkeys were eaten on Thanksgiving. Yes.
Wow.
Okay, how many potatoes?
Oh, Lord. Like individual potatoes?
Oh, yes.
Boy, you're going to get me on this one. I'll say 100 million.
25 million.
Oh, way off.
How much ham?
Oh, pound-wise?
How many million hams?
How many million hams? 35.
77 million hams.
Oh, really?
That's a lot of pig.
Wow.
Okay, pumpkin pies.
Oh, my goodness.
How many pumpkin pies were eaten?
64 million.
50 million.
Really?
50 million pumpkin pies.
Mm. I could eat all of them myself.
I could, too. Okay. When was the first Thanksgiving? Do you remember?
I think it was 1621. Oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't know
and,
that.
They passed a resolution in 1789, and they asked the president, who was George Washington, to name it a National Thanksgiving Day. So he proclaimed the 26th day of November as the day of Thanksgiving. So anyway, subsequent presidents were always saying it's a National Thanksgiving Day, and it fell on different days, different months. Then in 1863, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving would be held on every last Thursday of November every year, and that it would be a national holiday. So Abraham Lincoln is the one that finally got it done. But then some Novembers had five Thursdays. So then here comes the Congress. Here comes the Senate. So they made a new resolution in 1941 to get it squared away. It's the fourth Thursday of every November, and they finally got it squared away on that date.
Jeez. I didn't realize it had wobbled all over the place and was different days and times and months, and I didn't realize that. I thought it was always kind of the
And our friends to the north, Canada, they became a national holiday for Thanksgiving in 1879.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
So the typical Thanksgiving always has the turkey, the stuffing, the dinner rolls, the cranberry sauce, and some type of potato, corn, and pumpkin pie.
Hmm.
Now then, every American ate at least 1 pound of turkey. That's the average.
Some of us had a lot more.
1 pound a person. That is a lot of turkey.
It is.
I mean, 45 million turkeys. That's just, I mean, can you imagine they could grow that many turkeys?
Yeah, that's a lot of turkeys.
And then we talked about how long it takes a woman to cook all this. You know, if men were cooking, I'll bet they would buy every bit of this. What do you think? They would say, okay, here we go. Now then, on the first Thanksgiving, when we had our very first Thanksgiving, you know, we had the Pilgrims, we had the Indians, and the story now has changed, and I hate to tell it because I don't believe it, of course, you know. They say that there was only 5 women at the first Thanksgiving.
Really?
That's what it says. And I think somebody's been messing with our typing. It says there was 90 Indians and 50 Pilgrims, but there was only 5 women. And I never heard that before.
Hmm.
Do you think they're messing with this?
That doesn't sound right to me.
It doesn't sound right to me. And then the news story is that instead of wild turkey, and we all know they had wild turkey, they're changing it and said, they had venison instead of wild turkey.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I think some liberals have been messing with us. That's what I think. I think some liberal has been messing with our Thanksgiving because, you know, I've been reading this all my life, and I've seen all the paintings and the pictures, and, you know, there was always a turkey on the table.
Yeah, it's right there.
So I think some liberal came along and said, look, we're going to mess with this. We're going to tell them there was no wild turkey, and we know there was. You know, they may have had some deer, but, you know, the Indians brought everything because the Americans didn't even know how to hunt, if you remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea. It was a new land. We didn't know what was here, how to do anything, how to work the land, nothing, knew nothing.
No, they did not know how to hunt. They didn't have a bow and arrow. They wouldn't even know how to clean these things. And they were starving, and the Indians came and saved them.
Yeah. And what did you say? There was 90 Indians just by this and 50 pilgrims and four women.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they're telling now. But I've always been told that that the people came from England and all these places, and they had wives. Wives.
Yeah.
I mean, I never heard that there wasn't but five women on Thanksgiving.
Well,
and how did they just discover that, by the way?
Exactly. All of a sudden, new evidence came to light? I don't think so.
That's what I'm thinking, too, I think. I think a liberal's got a hold of us, and they've been writing things up.
Yeah. Well,
The
women had to have gone someplace, and you know they didn't just, like, stay home that day. You know?
No, they were hungry, too, and they would have gathered and helped the Indians cook.
Yeah.
Because the Indians showed them how. And did you know we've been watching football on Thanksgiving since 1876?
Really? I didn't know that. Wow.
The first professional football game was played on Thanksgiving, November 25th, 1920.
Wow. I don't...
That is just hard to believe.
It is. It's.
I know. On Turkey Day, everybody watches old movies.
Yeah.
They eat till they're stuffed. And then they watch the football games. That's a big tradition in America.
Yeah. And then you go back for more.
That's right. Then everybody goes back, has some more. Always remember not to leave the food out over 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a big thing. People can really get sick. So make sure you put everything back in the refrigerator, then take it out and warm it up again. It's fine.
Yeah.
But don't leave it out all day. Everybody to go home in good shape. They're going to be sick.
Yeah, and what? So, see what Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I think leftovers only last for 3 days. So if you still have any today, tomorrow I guess would be your last day to have them, and then they've got to go. But I don't know if many people who still have any. So
and everybody sends a package, a carrot package, home with everybody.
Yes.
So that spreads that around, so you don't have too much in one place, and you should be able to get it eaten.
You should.
I think. And how many people do you think are going to travel this weekend?
Oh boy, I think I saw something about travel for this holiday weekend is bigger than it's been in years. So. I don't
it
even
is.
Know where
You're
to start.
Right. 50... I think about 55 million.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
The airports are clogged. Every city is clogged. The big cities are all clogged up. You know, it's just amazing. People haven't been anywhere in so long that they're all going somewhere.
Yeah. And I think from what I was seeing that they were expecting people to cut out early, some would cut out early on Wednesday, like call that a half a day. Some people were cutting out on Tuesday, and then some people were just saying, why even bother opening at all? And so some people closed the entire week. Just people are so itching to get out and just go somewhere. So, yeah, I can see.
Well, people love to go. Used to, they all went to grandmother's house, and she did all the cooking. And now that's kind of changed.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own traditions now.
Yeah. And then, I remember remember when we used to have like the Black Friday sales, and you would get up, you know, at like 3 a.m. and go stand out. You'd go through all the ads, and then you pick whatever deal you want at whatever store you wanted. And sometimes you would have teams of people that would, you know, break up, divide and conquer. So two people would go at one store, two people go to another store, somebody else go to another store, and then you stand in line for hours, wait for the doors to open, and everybody runs in like a madhouse running for the item you want. You put it in your buggy, and then sometimes there would be fights. People would take stuff out of your buggy.
They'd show it on television, and people going in, and there was going to be one large television. It was going to be $100.
Yeah.
And these people are fighting over it and fighting to get in the door. I think those days are gone, don't you?
Yeah, they're long gone. It's like now I've noticed, like especially this year, like they have like Black Friday sales that are like all month long. So there's no more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've just got to keep going.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't miss. I do miss Christmas shopping and going to the mall and seeing all the, you know, pretty jewelry and all the, you know, the stuff that's out in the Christmas music and all that, and sitting in the massage chair at the store in the mall and all that. But I don't miss the Black Friday rushes that we used to have. I think it's much calmer now.
Well, I think when COVID came, it took care of all that, you know, and then it took care of the malls. All the malls are not leased now. It's a sad story. And everybody now, they buy online. It's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to go online. You can do it in 5 minutes. I mean, you can do your Christmas shopping in about 4 hours online instead of going and fighting the crowd, you know? And if it doesn't fit, they send it back. I mean, it's simple.
Boy, times. Remember when you used to buy shoes and you'd have to go to the store and the man would have the metal thing and they'd move the thing?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yes. he'd sit down and he'd put your foot up on that little deal in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, that part of that stool, he'd put your foot right there. I remember all that.
Yeah, those were good times. Now we just buy whatever we have online and shove our feet
in. And people
into
don't
it.
Dress up anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
You know, the Express said they were closing due to the fact that after COVID, women did not come back and buy career clothes for work.
Ooh.
They said they quit. After the COVID deal, people dressed differently. They weren't dressing up. They weren't buying suits. And that's what they always sold, was career clothes for younger women.
Yeah.
I haven't been in that place in years, but it was a young people's store for young women working in offices. And they said they're going under.
Yeah, they are.
They can't keep them open.
I mean, I even see the same thing. Like even some of our neighbors, like in the morning, if I'm out early enough, I'll see, you know, some neighbors going off to work. They'll have their business, you know, bag on their shoulder. So you can tell they're going to work, but they're not wearing fancy suits. They're not wearing all the same things they used to. I've seen some people go to work literally in sweatpants and, you know, maybe a dress shirt or something like that. And the times are so different since COVID. It's the whole thing is
changed. Well, let me tell you something. I had my attorney come over to the office the other day, and this is somebody that's represented us for years. He walked in, he had his suit pants on and a jacket and tennis shoes.
Did he really?
He did. When I saw the tennis shoes, I just burst out laughing. I said, man, times have changed. I mean, when an attorney comes to your office in tennis shoes,
wow.
I mean, that's just how different it is.
I bet you never thought see the day when your attorney would conform.
I didn't think I'd live long enough to see that. And that told me something right there, that unless they're in court, they are not dressing up. To come to clients' offices, they're just saying to heck with it, you know.
Yeah.
It's casual every day. It's not casual at home. I mean, they go see clients and with their tennis shoes on. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, boy, it's like holiday shopping is not – it used to be fun. I mean, I know we all hated going to the stores and you'd have to plan for weeks in advance. And then on Christmas Eve, you've been out doing your last minute, you know, rush around, get the last minute things, get them home, get them wrapped. Oops, I forgot something, run back out. I know we all complained about it at the time. It's just like, I can't stand the crowds, can't stand all going to the mall. But now it's just like, it was almost like a social thing. It was just like, wow, you just go in and take in the lights. And then when you're done, you know, you go out to dinner someplace and you're driving home and you see people's Christmas lights on their houses. And it was a whole thing. And I miss those old days now.
Yeah, times have really changed. There's not any doubt about it. Yeah. You know, I don't know what to think. And as I said, I know that they do not dress, but I'll tell you an even funnier story. My doctor wanted to make an appointment with me. And so I call over to confirm the appointment. I said, now this is not an office visit. Oh, no. She said, this will be over the phone.
Yes.
You don't even see her anymore. That's over with.
Yeah.
She just talks to you on the phone and, you know, do a feel-good story, and that's it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd live long enough to see that.
I know.
Where you don't go in anymore. You just talk to her on the phone.
Yes, you just talk to her on the phone.
Yeah.
And then they even do eye exams like that. So you don't even have to go into
the place. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm.
My eye doctor still does see people.
Well, they're in the irony lies.
He does still require. He hadn't told us yet that we can just do it over the phone. It'd be a great idea.
It's coming.
But I'm telling you, everything is unpersonal. There's nothing personal left in the world.
I know it. Remember, did you ever used to either you yourself or work with other people who would like make like a tin of like holiday cookies or, you know, some candies?
Oh, yes,
or treats?
Yes,
they don't do that anymore.
People brought those to us all the time. We were always getting cookies and candies and, oh, everything. Yes, I loved it. And people were always sending stuff over to us.
I know it.
In fact, I think a couple of years we even got a ham.
Really? Oh, wow. Uh-huh. That's cool.
We've got some neat customers.
Evidently.
And
wow.
Yes. And I know Claudia is always getting things from everybody. I mean, she gets usually a ham or a turkey or, you know, something really great every year.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
That is really, really cool.
Well, remember, we're in the heartland.
Yeah, where people are still
we're
nice.
Not New York City or, you know.
Or New Jersey.
Or New Jersey. They wouldn't even be speaking to us at Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd cuss you out for Thanksgiving.
Yes, they would. You know, oh, my gosh.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know we kind of referenced risks with the life settlements. We didn't actually go into them in detail. We should probably run down those real quick because it's a short and sweet list. So what's the biggest?
Okay. The biggest risk of all is it could go over. You might have to pay premium. You have to look at that before you buy. When we send you out the information, look, see what the premium is. If you have any questions, talk to us about it, call us. If not, if it's so low that you can't hardly see it, just let it go. But that's your really a big risk is the premium. The other risk is it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, it's going to be liquid. It's going to be in your account. So those are things people need to know.
And
let me tell you another risk that you and I have never thought about.
Hmm.
Sometimes people have on their accounts somebody they believe can handle their business when they're dead, okay? And I hate to say that. But I've got two clients right now that have passed away, and the one has a daughter that's not just quite right. We don't have anybody else. She hadn't been able to do anything to the account. She can't assign it where we can even do anything on his behalf. And I've got one other one like that. This person died, and his sons, I don't know what's wrong with them. They haven't come and taken care of the account. They're just letting it sit there. So when you make a beneficiary, make sure it's someone that's solid, that can carry on, that'll go on making you money. Because if you don't have the right person, the money sits there. We can't touch it. We can't invest it. We can't make a payout for you. We can't do anything. We don't have the authority. And it's a shame. And I don't know how to fix it.
Boy, we hadn't ever talked about that.
We've never talked about it. But it's a serious problem when you've got two or three people that have a problem mentally and they can't take care of your business after you're gone. And this guy was with us several years, a great client, had quite a bit of money invested with us. He's got several hundred thousand in cash just sitting there.
Oh, wow.
And it can't be invested. We can't do anything. I don't know what to do.
I would imagine probably not exactly the same thing, but I'm maybe on a kind of maybe a related note. I'm just kind of assuming that maybe you've also had situations where maybe the husband will, you know, spearhead the investment for a while and then something will happen. And maybe the spouse isn't quite up to speed with how life settlements work and what to do and all that. And so they might be inclined to make some knee-jerk decisions. Has that ever happened?
You're exactly right. Knee-jerk decisions. You hit that on the head. If the husbands knew what I know, a lot of them would put someone besides their wife in charge of their investments. Hmm. I'll just tell you. That's what I would do. If the wife was uninformed, didn't seem to grasp everything, I would certainly put someone else. Maybe a brother, a sister, somebody that could help your wife. They just need some direction. They need some help.
Okay. And then last question. Have you ever had people like come in as a couple to make sure that something like that doesn't happen, just kind of protect the whole thing so that it does continue if something were to happen, so that the husband and the wife both are actively involved, know what's happening, understand it, know what to do. If something happens, here's, you know, obviously it would be contact Faye and you'll walk through it, but, you know, here's how you keep going and here's how we, you know, we've been successful. We want to keep the same trajectory. Do people ever set things up like that, like fully informed? With both
some of them do. If they have a joint account, yes.
Okay.
And those people are fine. They know what they're doing. But I'm talking about the ones that have someone that's ill-informed, that doesn't come in, that the husband handles everything. I've got several. The husband's, you know, he's very knowledgeable, sharp. They handle everything. And they just assume that the wife will have us continue to handle it. But that's not how it happens. When a husband dies, the women decide they want a man to handle it. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
And they'll go off and do something wild. I've had two or three did something that I thought was pretty wild. And, you know.
I have a feeling you're saying you're being nice about saying wild.
Yeah, they were kind of wild. So we just let it happen. And I hate to see it happen because they were making good money. They'd been with us a long time. Made good decisions. One died of a heart attack. One got cancer and died. And both of them had been with me a long time. And they were making money. They were successful. Then the wives decided that just wasn't what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So they went and got with a stockbroker.
Oh.
And I don't know how much they have left. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Put it right in.
All right.
Put it right in.
I feel you, pain. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of different situations and a lot of things that can happen. And every situation is unique. But you're right. We don't talk about, you know, making sure that things are set up in case something does happen for the future, to make sure that it is in good hands so that you do have somebody to keep, you know, the investment going, to keep, you know, doing the things that have made people so successful for so long. So that's a really good point. All right. So next week, it's back. Thanksgiving is over. Back to regular schedule. No holiday weirdness, right, for you?
That's exactly right. No weirdness. Even. I guarantee there'll be no weirdness. We're going to walk past that.
All right.
And I plan to show up every Thursday.
Every Thursday from now to the end of time.
That's right.
All right. So one last time for people to call, get started, get some information, whatever they want to do. You are available this week for appointments, but people do need to call and make an appointment. So what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-0000. 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Has a lot of good things on it.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.